Lovers in London. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1880. Lanthea was riding alone through the woods, as she did every morning. She was thinking that nothing in the universe could be lovelier than the sunshine streaming through the spring leaves and turning them to gold. As usual, she was telling herself a story. It seemed that whenever she rode into the woods, her imagination was on fire, and stories just flowed into her mind. As she often said to her father, she had travelled the world just by reading the books in his library and listening to the wonderful stories he told her. "They all seem so true and real, Papa," she had told him over and over again. Her father had laughed, delighted. Sir Philip Grenville had been very much an ardent traveller in his youth, but now he was content to stay at home in the country. He wrote about his experiences rather than taking part any more. To Lanthea, ever since she had been small, the huge library with so many books overflowing into almost every other room in the house created many fairy tales in which she herself always played a vital part. She envisaged herself climbing the Himalayas as her father had tried to do, or travelling for endless miles over deserted countryside to Tibet and finding a monastery perched on the side of a cliff where no European had ever set foot. In all of her dreams, she was accompanied by someone special, a dream companion, who understood what she was thinking and who enjoyed the adventure of discovering a new world as much as she did. She dreamed, as she was travelling up the Nile or the Amazon, that she instructed her invisible companion. At other times, he instructed her, but always in her dreams they were together, and she was never frightened or alone. Lanthea had always been a lonely child. A late baby, her mother, Elizabeth, was already 39 years old when she was born. The age gap between Lanthea and her older brother, David, was too great for him to make a natural playmate, so the little girl came to rely on her own vivid imagination for companionship. When the Honourable Elizabeth Ford married Philip Grenville, he had not then come into the family baronetcy. Their families had been delighted. Their happiness had seemed complete when the young couple welcomed a son and heir within a year of marriage, and their families eagerly anticipated siblings to follow swiftly. However, because Philip Grenville wanted to travel the world, and his devoted wife always went with him, there were no more children. Accepting that their family was complete, the well-travelled couple had given up hoping that there might be any more. So Lanthea had been an unexpected surprise, or afterthought, as someone had wryly commented. Her parents were thrilled and delighted with their baby daughter. It seemed as if the fates had given them a special gift when they were least expecting it. Lanthea herself had always looked as if she had stepped straight out of a fairy story. Dainty, pretty, and intelligent, Sir Philip was prouder of his daughter than of any of the books he wrote, or even his vast library that he had spent years compiling. Enchanted, he spent a great deal of time telling her stories, which fascinated her, until she began to feel that she was living in them rather than just hearing them. Now, riding through the woods that were part of her father's country estate, she was blissfully imagining that she was riding in the hot sun in India towards a magnificent palace, where she was to stay with the Maharaj. India was very often in her thoughts, because that was where David was presently stationed. He was serving as an aide-de-camp to the Viceroy. He did not write to her very often, but when he did, her brother's descriptions made Lanthea feel that she was exploring India herself. In her mind, she travelled from the Viceregal Lodge in Calcutta to the northwest frontier, where many hostile tribesmen lurked behind every rock and bush. She could visualise all too well the dangers she would be facing. David had told her when he was last at home for a short leave how afraid they all felt about infiltration by the Russians. So, adding to the pictures in her mind, she could almost see the Cossacks riding across the desolate plains towards India, which was considered the most magnificent jewel in the British crown.